Western Wisconsin has faced its share of tragedy. The last 3 months of 2018 brought one incident after another. The disappearance of Barron County teenager Jamie Kloss and the deaths of her parents in October. The hit-and-run deaths of three Chippewa Falls Girl Scouts and a parent in November. And the violent murder of a Menominee man by his roommate in December. In 2017, a record-breaking tornado swept through four counties in our region, leaving behind a trail of devastation. With so much to process, including physical and emotional loss, how does Western Wisconsin respond to tragedy? Thank you for tuning in this Monday morning on the Ideas Network stations here in Western Wisconsin. I'm Rich Kramer. Three guests join me today to discuss how communities in our region respond to tragedy. In no particular order, they are Chris Fitzgerald, who joins us in studio. He is, or has been, the Barron County Sheriff for the past 10 years. He led the investigation into the disappearance last October of Barron County teenager Jamie Kloss and the deaths of her parents. Sheriff Fitzgerald, welcome back to the West Side.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Dr. Andy Felton joins us by phone. He is an assistant professor in the Rehabilitation and Counseling Department at UW-Stout. He is a licensed professional counselor and has worked with children, families, groups, and individuals. Dr. Andy Felton, welcome to the West Side.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you. And Kyle Kriegel joins us in studio. He is the Red Cross Chapter Executive for Northwest Wisconsin. His chapter covers 17 counties from our listening area all the way north to Bayfield County. Over the course of his 20-year career with the Red Cross, he has served at the national and state levels and has directed programs for health and safety and disasters. Kyle Kriegel, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Listeners, we want to hear from you. As always, we have phone lines open for you. If you have been directly impacted or affected by recent tragedy or have offered support to those who were affected, tell us about it. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. We would love to hear from you. And if you've got stories to share, you can remain, you know, anonymous with a first name only or whatever. We would just want to hear your story. It will help with the conversation because this is really about how a region responds together to these sorts of things. 1-800-228-5615. So, Andy Felton, I'd like to start with you. And, you know, we all know what grief is. We've all experienced it in our life, but I wanted to get into a little bit about how the processes in our mind play out. So, you know, I've heard of the five steps or the five kind of components of responding to grief. Is that a cliche or is that really how it works?
Well, I wouldn't want to describe it as this sort of linear process or some kind of sequence that people go through, but I do believe that people can experience all different types of emotions when it comes to grief. And so there are moments where people could experience a lot of sadness or potentially kind of symptoms of depression, but then they might also be showing signs of anger and aggression. And so then there are variations of how this can take shape.
Is there any difference between how a person... you know, if they're directly impacted by something, a house fire or crime or a natural disaster, do we process it differently as individuals than if it happens to someone we, you know, in our extended family or someone that's even a stranger from our area?
Well, so typically, if we experience it firsthand, we are going to have a bigger impact from it in our lives. However, if we are closely tied to the situation or the person, we may experience some similar symptoms ourselves. And we begin to actually see this within our helping professionals sometimes, too, who are closely working with those dealing with grief. And we oftentimes really emphasize in the field the importance of self-care of the professional in order to help make sure that they can meet the needs of those they're working with.
I'm glad you mentioned that because self-care is important. And even in the, you know, the news realm, reporters often will kind of take something with them home after covering a tragic event. I know I felt it when I was up in Barron and the Chuck tornadoes, anything like that. You can't help but empathize. Why is that? Is it something about human nature that causes us to feel for others?
Absolutely. We are wired from the beginning in order to just develop a connection with other people. Typically, it happens early on, even within the womb, relationships begin to develop. And there's even some research now coming out that even says the relationships that the mother has in her life while she's pregnant can influence the development of the child's brain while in the womb. And so that even just goes to show how important it is for us to pay attention to that kind of connection that we can develop early on in our lives.
That's interesting. And, you know, we like to think of ourselves as individuals, but yet it seems like we're very social animals.
Yes, we absolutely are, at least typically. We tend to try to find ways to connect with other people, and we know that if our relationships early on in our lives are disrupted or unhealthy, that can leave a lasting impact throughout our lives in many ways.
1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. We're talking about how Western Wisconsin responds to tragedy. Now, I want to be clear that this is not to assume that we in this part of the state necessarily respond to tragedy or any type of grief in a better way than other places. It's just looking at it through the lens of our neighbors and family and friends. So if you've got a question or a comment for our guests, do give us a call. I'm joined by Dr. Andy Felton. He's an assistant professor in the Rehabilitation and Counseling Department at UW-Stout. Kyle Kriegel is with the Northwest Wisconsin chapter. He's the executive of the Northwestern Wisconsin chapter for the Red Cross. And Chris Fitzgerald is the Barron County Sheriff. 1-800-228-5615. So, Jamie Kloss this has got to be one of the biggest stories I've ever covered in terms of national attention. When news broke in October that two parents had been killed and 13-year-old Jamie Kloss was missing, the eyes of the nation focused on Barron in a big way. And for an extended period of time, this was a story that was in the news kind of repeatedly, whether because law enforcement and members of the community were trying to keep that awareness up or just because there was just details that would come out along the way, like in a trickle. So what was it like for people living in and around the city? It's, you know, and you are a parent yourself. Right. So Sheriff Fitzgerald, what was the initial reaction that you heard from your neighbors?
Well, obviously everybody was scared. I mean, we just don't have this type of thing happen in Northwest Wisconsin. We've had tragedy. We've had, you know, loss of life. We've had fires. We've had lots of different tornadoes, lots of different things. But something like this involving kids that's always strikes a chord in people's hearts. And, you know, it was difficult, especially because we didn't know, one, where she was, and two, why this happened. Because we didn't know that for 88 days. Why was the million-dollar question that I got asked probably a million times. Mm-hmm. Why, and, you know, it's very frustrating from a law enforcement standpoint, being the keeper of the community, to not have that answer. It was frustrating for me, and I know it's frustrating for our department and all the law enforcement agencies helping, because we were stumped for a little while. I mean, we had little clues here and there, and that's why that information comes out like it did. But yeah, it was why, you know, that was the big question. It would be why.
Yes, and in the absence of that answers to that big question, I mean, I saw some theories. You know, everyone's got theories, and I'll go to Andy Felton in just a bit about, you know, why we might. We just have this need to have a beginning and an ending to something like this. But, you know, you mentioned, the department mentioned pretty early on that this appeared to be a targeted situation, that it wasn't some random act. Did that comfort people? I mean, it still seemed like the fear was there whenever I would visit.
Well, I think the fear was there because we didn't know where Jamie was. Yeah. And that was why the fear was there. But, yeah, information we had, what it seemed to be targeted. Now, who was the target was the big question that I talked about a lot on the news. And who was it, mom or dad, or, you know, was it Jamie or was it random? Well, turns out it was random. Mm-hmm. So that was it, that creates a new set of fears for us, and we continue to work on that. But it's through community organizations like the Red Cross and the media. The media helped us a lot getting the message out there, and it's working together, and that's what we do well here in Northwest Wisconsin. That makes it okay, makes it a little bit better, makes mm-hmm. it a little helpful, knowing that you can turn to a partner right next to you and get some help.
Andy Felton, so why why is why such an important question? I mean, it seems pretty self-evident, but whenever there's a tragedy like what happened in Barron, and there's not ready solutions or ready answers, what does that do to a person's mind?
Well, we struggle with ambiguity or the not knowing of things. And we are creatures where we tend to like to try to fill in the gaps and make sense of situations and establish meaning around events in our lives. It kind of helps us understand where we belong and where we don't fit in and how we can then try to adapt and adjust. And so when we don't have a clear answer to the situation, it can really create a lot of worry for people and a lot of fear for many people. Mm-hmm. And so then we try to find ways to calm ourselves down, and sometimes that means creating some sort of a story to help fill the gaps.
Is that also, does a sense of loss of control factor in here too? Because, you know, when we feel helpless, that seems to be when people are most scared.
Absolutely, yes. And when there is a loss of control, it can be a time when then we are trying to do what we can to find control. Or sometimes when we feel like there absolutely is no opportunity for control, is when we could potentially begin to show signs of like shutting down or potentially even lashing out. Mm. And so this is when we want to be very careful about just how we learn how to cope and process things.
Kyle Kriegel, you know, when I think of the Red Cross, I think of, you know, the vans pulling up or the trucks pulling up whenever there's a big house fire or if there's a flood or a tornado. I mean, you were certainly up in the Chautauqua area after that happened.
Yes.
Is this the kind of situation where Red Cross mobilizes and sends, you know, supplies and help?
Yes, we do. And actually, we do have trained mental health counselors available that can help out with those types of situations. We also have spiritual care for folks as well. You know, here in Wisconsin, we do have a pretty big group of folks that go out and do this. I mean, they've actually had some national exposure to disasters like the Las Vegas shooting, mm-hmm. Like the shooting in the nightclub in Florida. So we've had many of our volunteers have had national experience, and they're right here able to respond to disasters and help folks with that recovery process.
Mm-hmm. So when you went to Barron, I mean, you were offering counseling support, because I remember at the there was a gathering of hope, and I want to talk about that in just a bit. But
usually after the disaster, we have what's called a MARC, a multi-agency resource center, okay. Where we bring in all of the agencies that help. You know, there's other nonprofits. I know we were there with Salvation Army. We were there with, you know, folks. When you have a disaster like this, you need everything, from getting your driver's license to, you know, where to get your next things that you need because you lost everything. Mm-hmm. So we had a resource center set up. It was actually right there in Cameron at Mosaic, where folks could come in, one-stop shop, and begin that recovery process.
So you're talking about the tornado situation, but mm-hmm. if there's an incident like a Jamie Kloss or like a high-profile crime, sure. And an abduction, and is that the sort of thing that you
we are available for? If our partners request that, we do have that service available. We do that. We have been called in many times for situations like that.
And is there this is going to be sound like kind of a goofy question, but is there a threshold? I mean, when do you decide, okay, that's now enough of a disaster or a tragedy or whatever that we will mobilize?
For us, typically it's our partner with emergency management or the sheriff's department that will come to us and ask, hey, can you guys help us with this situation? And we're there to help respond. We don't self-deploy. We always make sure we're asked to come in.
Oh, I see. All right. Mm-hmm.
Then they come really fast too. Oh, sorry. Yeah. They come really fast and they're, it was great. I mean, that night of the tornado, I mean, they were there that night. Mm-hmm. And that's the great, when you have relationships and you build relationships prior to an incident. I mean, that's what I've always wanted to do and tried to do is build relationships. So that's, it's that phone call that you make, you know, whether it's the Red Cross for this or it was the Barron School during the Kloss incident. I mean, having a relationship with Superintendent Diane Tremblay built up beforehand and her staff so that you have that trust, you have that, you know what they're going to do, you know how they think and feel. And we have that with the, you know, organizations like the Red Cross. It's just, they know what you're going to do. You need something, they're going to do it. And they kept us fed and they kept all the people everybody that needed something, they made happen. And those marks are very, very important. And that was the first time I've really dealt with one on site. And they did a tremendous job at that multi-agency response center.
There's, I mean, just the coordinating has got to be a lot of work, especially when you've got a lot of people wanting to help. I mean, I imagine it without some sort of a centralized coordinating body, it could get pretty chaotic.
It does, but as Sheriff Fitzgerald said, a lot of that, we're doing that beforehand, building those relationships, testing, you know, doing mock disaster drills and stuff like that, so that we're ready and prepared.
1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from our listeners on this topic. Today on the West Side, we're discussing how Western Wisconsin communities respond to tragedy. Our guests include Barron County Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald, Kyle Kriegel, Chapter Executive for the Red Cross in Northwest Wisconsin, and Dr. Andy Felton. He's Assistant Professor in the Counseling Department at UW-Stone. We'll pick up our conversation when we return. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-228-5615. Phone lines are wide open.
On WPR, you get thoughtful programming that brings you news and information from close to home and from around the world. Contributing members, including the growing number of sustainers, keep WPR's future secure. Thank you. Support also comes from Advent Health, a connected healthcare network providing whole person care. Advent Health is dedicated to empowering people to be healthy and to feel whole. More information is available at adventhealth.com.
Welcome back to the West Side. Governor Evers releases his 2019-2021 biennial state budget proposal on February 28th. Next week, we'll talk with two lawmakers from our region about their budget priorities. Today, we're talking more about how Western Wisconsin responds to tragedy. We've seen examples of community vigils, fundraising efforts, and that have garnered financial contributions from people all over the country, all over the world. We're joined today by Kyle Kriegel. He is Chapter Executive for the Red Cross in Northwest Wisconsin. Barron County Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald joins us, as well as Dr. Andy Felton. He's an Assistant Professor in the Counseling Department at UW-Stone. I'm Rich Kramer. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. You can join the conversation and share your story if you'd like. We all have experienced various forms of tragedy. Tell us how you deal with it. How do you heal? 1-800-228-5615. Speaking of vigils, Sheriff Fitzgerald, almost immediately, the school district, which has been fantastic, we reached out to them, but they weren't able to join us. Diane was great during the process. There was a gathering of hope. And at the time, you know, there was a lot of media attention. I was there that night. It was a beautiful ceremony. Why are events like that so important? I mean, what were the goals of these things?
Well, the goal is to just show that we're all in the same boat together. I mean, we're just a small community, but we're all there for each other. And really the mission and what I've been taught personally and professionally and my mission the rest of my career is never give up hope. If we learned one thing from this 13-year-old girl who's a hero, is to never give up hope. And the strength and power is in you to do just about anything you want to do, and you should never give up hope. And so they called it hope, and I think Superintendent Tremblay did a phenomenal job of naming it, but they just didn't want anybody to give up hope. I mean, we didn't want to give up hope from a law enforcement standpoint. Our community didn't, and it was just a fabulous event to bring everyone together and say, hey, I'm feeling that way too. And I just think that was what the reason we had it was just for that reason, not for any other purpose except to say we're all in the same boat and never give up hope. And Jamie will come home, and ultimately she did.
And you were always very optimistic about that you were going to find her, that she would be found. This was months after something so heinous happened. Did you encounter people that were doubting, or was that kind of a universal feeling?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of doubters out there because so much time had gone by. But, you know, there was certain things in this case that came along that well, there was no evidence on the scene that she was hurt. And I said that in the beginning in my press conference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was that. That's why we felt she was alive and she was out there. And, you know, we did that big search, 2,000 people, which the Red Cross, everybody helped with that. I mean, that was a tremendous effort by a community who, we had a lot of doubters that night that we couldn't get 2,000 people in 24 hours. And they came from all over. And I can't thank the community enough for the support that they gave us for things like that. But it's just those little things that can make a big difference. And it worked.
I was talking with residents. This was after the announcement on that Friday. The Facebook post for Thursday night kind of blew everyone's mind, I think, that she had escaped. I mean, mm-hmm. that she was alive, that she had been found. So the next day, I was kind of traveling through the community just trying to talk to people, and I was struck by a couple things. A lot of people were talking about Jamie as if she was their own daughter. Like as if it was her own family, and but also I was struck by just, you know, how many people just knew that this was going to happen, that she was not going to be, you know,
yeah,
that she'd be alive,
right? And it's kind of interesting. I mean, from the and I thought the tornado was my claim to fame, but obviously it's not anymore.
Yeah,
but you know, even the tornado. So many people gave to help, whether it be Red Cross or Salvation Army or the people themselves, or came out to rake people's yard out of debris or whatever it was. I mean, it was just, yeah, there's something about small town Wisconsin, if you want to call it that, that makes us so great. That, you know, and seeing some things and working with like the FBI and some other areas, agencies that they don't see in big cities. And there's so much care and compassion here in Northwest Wisconsin that it's fun to be a cop. I mean, not during these incidents, obviously, right. But it makes our job as law enforcement officers so great. And, you know, there's all this negativity about law enforcement places, and it's just not here.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, there's a bad cop here or there, or something happens, but this is just a small blip on the radar. And we take care of each other, neighbors helping neighbors, was what Barron County and Northwest Wisconsin does well.
Andy Felton, I wanted to ask you, you know, there's the media likes to frame things in certain ways. I mean, and when they go to when the national media and even myself go to a small city like Barron, in a pretty rural area, it we're struck by that sense of community. And so is there any evidence to show that people in smaller parts, you know, areas where maybe there's only one high school or, you know, maybe a majority of people go to the same churches, you know, is there any difference between small town and bigger city reactions to tragedy or processing grief?
So I can't speak to that specifically, but what I can say is, again, it's important to just recognize the types of connections and relationships, kind of like the way that Sheriff Fitzgerald was talking about, that there's just that community that's been established. And I think anywhere where people feel like they belong somewhere and can have some kind of support around them, then people will come together and find ways to thrive and help people kind of through any sort of situation.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-228-5615. We've got our first caller of the morning. This call comes from Menominee, and it looks like Martha, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, my call is not so much about reacting to
mm-hmm.
Natural disasters. It's more about the wave of crime. It just seems, I live in Menominee. We've had two murders, you know, kind of high profile.
Right.
One, a foreign student in downtown Menominee was killed after being assaulted. And another was a recent murder of a roommate. And then in light of the incident in Barron, it seems like there's a pattern here with these rural, forgive me, I don't mean to like stereotype, but
sure.
Rural angry white guys with issues. And I'm wondering if there is some kind of community awareness or prevention, interventions, something that's being done or is being looked at so that people in the community can be a little more proactive and maybe treat it not so much after something bad happens, but ways that communities can come together before these things happen and try to target, you know, what's going on.
Sure. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-228-5615. We've got three open phone lines right now. Sheriff Fitzgerald, can you speak to that? I mean, I don't know if it's just because things get more media attention or what, but there have been high-profile crimes other than the Kloss story. I mean, there's been a lot of shootings, and I know that your department has actually, you know, gone out and tried to help mm-hmm. prepare people for, say, mass shootings. But what would you tell Martha?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. The media does have plays a role in this, but Martha's right. There is a lot of high profile cases that seem to be a little bit more towards, you know, our area, Menominee, Rice Lake, Barron, wherever it is. But I think it's what we have to do as a community is take this energy, this power. Everybody felt so good when Jamie Kloss was found and that energy and do something with it. So I think we have to get to know our neighbors. We all have these events called National Night Out in August. Every law enforcement agency in the area has them. And, you know, yeah, that's great. We get a couple hundred people here, a couple hundred people there, but our towns are bigger than a couple hundred people. Mm-hmm. So when we have an event, something like that, it's get to know your neighbors. It's get to know and talk to each other and take care of neighbors helping neighbors, because we from law enforcement can't do it alone. And so I think Martha's exactly right. There's a proactive thing we have to do. It's called neighbors getting to know neighbors and talking to each other and watching your house while I'm gone and you watch my house and you watch my kid and that's all we have to do, and it's all we can do is not live in fear, but to live in a where I know my neighbor and I wave to him, and there goes Jim. He's going to work, and you know when there's a red truck in his driveway during the day, I'm like, that's not his truck. I'm going to call the police, and that's okay to do. I think that's people are thinking that they're bothering us or wasting our time when the red truck is maybe it's a plumber, but maybe it's a burglar. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. So. But the more people that call law enforcement to have us respond to things, the better off we are. And neighbors helping neighbors is my best advice.
All right. 1-800-228-5615. It looked like we had another caller come in, but I see that there is a bit of technical difficulties going on with the phone system. So do give us a call and keep trying. 1-800-228-5615. We can get the message relayed even if you're not able to stay on the line. So as far as the motivation, you know, You mentioned the search, Sheriff, but I want to kind of talk to all of the guests about the motivation to help others. We've kind of touched on it already. You talked about you asked for 2,000 volunteers, and then the other thing that I was trying to remember in the moment was when I was in Barron, everyone I talked to was part of that, or at least was turned away. Mm-hmm. You had to turn away. How many people do you figure had to turn away?
I'm not sure how many people we had to turn away, but that was, and some of the FBI to Milwaukee, like 2,000 people in 24 hours. And I'm like, yeah, we can do it. And they're like, oh, I don't know, but we'll take whatever we can get.
The aerial shots alone were insane.
And we had a great plan and great partners. And again, that is work that's done not the morning of, it's done weeks and months and prior. I mean, we do a lot of tabletop exercises and we involve a lot of players. And yeah, hopefully you never have to use them, but you've run that plan and done that. But the community response to this incident or in the Shiteke incident and everything is tremendous from a standpoint of a sheriff. I mean, I'm the luckiest guy in the world to have a community that backs us like we did. And it's just unbelievable, but that's stuff we prepare for on a daily basis and hopefully never have to use.
Kyle Kriegel, you've probably witnessed this many times over, the sense of people wanting to help, that they're just compelled to do it. What do you think is playing into that with regard to the, I mean, I saw so many people volunteering to help the Red Cross. Mm-hmm. When I was in Shiteke, also after the fact, people were volunteering to try to help clean up the area. I mean, people that were contractors were just foregoing their normal work schedules to lend their equipment and whatever. So you've seen it over and over again. What do you think is the driving factor?
Well, actually, my folks were in a tornado, so I got to see, you know, the experience firsthand.
Wow.
And, you know, our church showed up, you know, as Sheriff Fitzgerald said, the community rallies around you and helps you with your recovery and gives you that hope that you need. So when disasters like this happen, yes, we get a lot of calls and people are like, hey, I want to help. And we try to get them, you know, trained and into the system right away to respond to these disasters. But as, you know, we want to make sure that when folks, they're trained and prepared to go and respond to disasters. So we always have to make sure that those volunteers are trained. Mm-hmm. They know what their assignments are when they go out on those assignments.
Yeah. Otherwise, good intentions could lead to unintended consequences.
Right. Right. Okay. So we want to make sure our volunteers are trained and prepared. And we do have ways, you know, folks can go to our website and learn about those different opportunities to get involved.
Dr. Felton, so I think I might have even asked this already, but when there's such a strong desire for people to help others that have been through something tough, whether it be a whole community responding to a tornado or, you know, donating online to Jamie Kloss and her family or what have you, is that motivation kind of driven by a sense for, is that a type of closure or healing for people, or, you know, what's driving that?
Yeah, I think so. And there's sort of this idea of maybe some altruistic tendencies, this idea that I can offer something selfless without sort of an expectation of getting something back. And in offering something like that, support, finances, whatever it might be, a blanket, just the comfort to other people, that can actually make us feel much better about ourselves and then help us feel more connected. I mean, if you're wanting to get into the science of it, it also can help release certain levels of like oxytocin in the brain, which is all about connection. And so it's ways to essentially help develop those connections that I talked about earlier on that we're wired for in our lives. It's a way to just help build rapport, establish a community, and just have a sense of belonging.
Yeah. 1-800-228-5615. We've got another caller. This one from Eau Claire. Matt, you're on the line. You're on the air. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I really appreciate that you are having this conversation today. I was involved with the search. I was amazed at the turnout. I mean, across state borders, people were super excited to be there and help. So thank you for putting that together. I think it was really helpful to do that.
How did it help you?
You know, I have daughters. I live in Eau Claire, and I saw Jamie as potentially, you know, my daughter at the same age, and just being able to do something and not sit there idly and watch your area terrorized was extremely helpful for me.
And this, thank you so much for sharing your story, Matt. I appreciate it. Did you feel any less safe? I mean, Barron is a good hour away from Eau Claire, but did you think twice about things?
A little bit, but, you know, living in town in Eau Claire, I felt like I was a little safer that way with all the security cameras and
sure.
And neighbors know each other. And I mean, knowing where she lives, and it seemed so isolated and like such a random incident or targeted that I felt like, you know, as time went on and listening to Sheriff Fitzgerald that, you know, this may not be someone going out at multiple, you know, just on a spree or something like that.
Right.
But it certainly could have ended up that way, you know, if that person got tired of what they had done and wanted to move on.
Sure.
So I don't know if that makes sense, but
It does.
I know people up in that area. I have coworkers up there, and they were very reluctant to let their kids outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for the call, Matt. 1-800-228-5615 if others would like to join the conversation. We're talking about how Western Wisconsin responds to tragedy, not just the Jamie Kloss story, although that is definitely, I would argue, one of the highest profile cases to hit Western Wisconsin. But we're talking about all manner of tragedies and how people in general, communities, neighborhoods, respond to them. We're starting to see some patterns here in what we're hearing from our guests. There's a lot of familial action. There's just a lot of drive. And I'm sure it's not, you know, specific to Western Wisconsin, but it is in spades here. So 1-800-228-5615 if you've got a question or a comment. I want to talk about another form of people, you know, helping, going out of their way to help. This is online fundraising. And so in my role as reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, I've kind of kept tabs on these various fundraisers for Jamie Kloss, but there have also been, you know, blood drives for victims of tragedies, whether they be shootings in Las Vegas or just 9/11 comes to mind. They had more blood than they could handle. So, but with regards to the internet and social media, how big of a help is it? And are there drawbacks? Sheriff Fitzgerald, I'll start with you.
Yes, there are drawbacks. I mean, there was a lot of people that wanted to do great things, but some of the intentions were not what we wanted. And some of them were...
Can you give any examples?
Well, they wanted to raise money if they could meet Jamie. Well, oh. And that's not going to happen. I mean, so there was some ulterior motives maybe behind some of this fundraising. There's a lot of good in the world, and you have to try to separate it. And maybe some of their intentions were still good, but we have to protect the case, protect the 13-year-old, protect whatever we're trying to protect. And so, but that's why we set up a local bank, because we knew, again, local banks keep, they know we're not going to get, you know, money taken out of the account by a local bank. GoFundMe was set up by a family member, but my understanding, and I don't know, there was another GoFundMe account for a little while out there that maybe the family wasn't going to get access to, or, you know, so you just have to be careful what you give. We always tell people to give local, Red Cross, you know, whatever it is, you give local because you know the money stays here. We see the results of that. You know, I'm just a huge supporter after that tornado of giving local, and whether that's I got to drive 20 miles and make the deposit in the bank myself, you know, you just do that because you know where the money's going. All of us are hardworking people that we want our money to go certain places, and that makes a big difference when we know it goes local.
Kyle Kriegel, how does social media, because whenever there's, during the floods that happened last year, I again was following that as a news story, and boy, you see news spread fast. And is that an asset to the Red Cross, or, you know, do you see problems with how the news is being spread, or misinformation perhaps?
Well, one thing that we always do to make sure that we respond appropriately to disasters, we're always working with our partners through emergency management, through the Sheriff's Department. We don't just, you know, if we see things out on the web, we always make sure that we're verifying that with our partners. And I would also add that with fundraising, you know, make sure that, you know, if you are giving to those social media sites, that they're verified, because as Sheriff said, sometimes they have ill intentions. So make sure that you have, if you're giving, make sure that they are verified. But for us, again, you know, we certainly look at the media, you know, we try to look at those stories, follow up on them, but we always go back to our partners to verify that they're there.
And Andy Felton, so with, how does, I mean, has, is the, imagine there's some study that's been done in terms of how social media affects how people process tragedy or grief and whatnot. So can you offer anything to add to this? Like, as with news spreading so fast, you know, maybe we're exposed to more tragedy, or maybe it's just easier for people to reach out in ways that were not available before. You know, how does social media affect this sort of thing?
Sure. Well, in some ways, kind of just echoing both of what Sheriff Fitzgerald and Kyle have already talked about, just the idea of when we do get this exposure, yes, there's advantages to being exposed to the information around us because then we become more aware. However, we want to be careful about where that information is coming from. And so it is important to take the time to research and not just take something at face value and believe that it's absolutely true. And so in some ways, the media can stir up more concerns for us, even though it can also provide us more information about what's happening. And so what we do know is that, I mean, people have concerns of the world becoming a worse place at this point, but in many ways it's actually not. It's just that we do have more exposure to the information of what's happening in the world around us.
Definitely. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got questions or comments. We're talking about how Western Wisconsin responds and has responded to tragedy. Our guests are Dr. Andy Felton, assistant professor in the counseling department at UW-Stout. Dr. Felton joins us by phone. With me in the Eau Claire studio, we have Barron County Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald and Kyle Kriegel, chapter executive for the Red Cross in Northwest Wisconsin. I'm Rich Kramer. Stay tuned as we pick up our conversation right after this.
There are more than two sides to every story.
Every day, the Ideas Network seeks out important voices in our community and brings you perspectives you won't hear anywhere else.
We don't just seek the truth, but understanding.
Be part of the conversation.
Explore different perspectives.
The Ideas Network, where Wisconsin connects.
On Point. To the best of our knowledge, Zorba passed around your health. These programs and many more are possible thanks to listener support. You can learn about WPR programs, schedules, and so much more at WPR.org. Thank you. Support also comes from UW-Eau Claire Continuing Education, offering the Supervisory Management Certificate, dedicated to developing leadership skills. More is at uwec.ly/smcp.
Some people are born with joints that are more flexible than others, sometimes hypermobile, sometimes known as being double-jointed. That can cause medical problems. Larry Mueller and two guests talk about what hypermobility is and what can be done to treat it. That's after 11 this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio, the Ideas Network. Welcome back to the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. This hour, how Western Wisconsin responds to tragedy. Three guests are here to talk with us for the rest of the hour. Kyle Kriegel of the Red Cross in Northwest Wisconsin, Barron County Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald. They both join me in the studio. By phone, we have Dr. Andy Felton of the Counseling Department at UW-Stout. We're talking about a number of pretty high-profile incidents that happened in Western Wisconsin, but more generally, we're just talking about how we, as a community, kind of process grief and tragedy and how we've responded. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you. We've had a lot of great calls so far. Share a story if you like. Give us a call. 1-800-228-5615. We've heard a couple people talk about safety. And, you know, with regard to the class tragedy up that happened in Barron, we have some resolution. I mean, Jamie was found. She's alive. But there's still healing to do, it seems. And I just saw an article in the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram this over the weekend about how it's going to take some time, and there's still people reeling from that. So Sheriff Fitzgerald, I mean, will it ever be the same? I mean, is that a silly question? Or is something, some sense of innocence, some sense of small-town safety gone forever in Barron?
Well, obviously, it's the sheriff, I hope not. But I get it, and I understand it. You know, you have to be real. But again, that's where we go back to just the simple things that we have to do in our lives about watching our kids and keeping an eye on them and making sure we know where they are. And technology helps us with that, with, you know, our phones being able to be, you know, as a parent, we can track our kids with, you know, at least we know where their phones are, things like that. Mm-hmm. So that helps. But yeah, there's some sense that's gone and we have to build it back up. But I think through this, through the tornado, through a lot of different things, we're only going to become stronger. I'm pretty excited about the future because it really, I don't know, woke up a lot of people that bad things can happen. We've never went out and, you know, as the sheriff said, oh, bad things will never happen in West Central Wisconsin, you know, whatever it is. So I think a lot of people have come, I've seen a lot of, you know, people come out and help and from all over. And I think that's what we wanted to see from law enforcement, you know, like I said, National Night Out, things like that. I think we're going to see a lot more activity around events like that, neighbors getting to know neighbors and learning about and talking to, because that's the way that we all become more safe, is the more eyes that are on this building so it doesn't get burglarized. If the neighbors are watching it or your house, you know, the better off we are.
1-800-228-5615. We've got another call coming in. Linda in Eau Claire, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. What's on your mind?
Well, I actually volunteer with the American Red Cross, and I just wanted to remind people that we do respond to disasters every day. Usually house fires are a very common one.
Right.
And so we have a group of volunteers that will help people through the recovery process. And that includes, you know, the whole counseling and help with, you know, medications and referrals to other agencies. And I have to tell you, we couldn't do it alone. We're so lucky to have good working relationship all over Wisconsin with so many other organizations, nonprofit.
Very cool. And so what do you get out of it, Linda?
Keeps me busy.
Oh, I think there's probably more than that. I mean, what does it make you feel when you're able to help?
I still remember the first time I went out on a fire call, and you go there, and the people are standing outside, maybe with a blanket or a coat around them because they rushed out of their house. And you get there, and you say, "Hi, I'm with the Red Cross. I'm here to help." And you can just see the whole realm of emotions go through their face from, oh, my gosh, what just happened, you know, that shock, to, oh, thank goodness someone's here to help, to kind of starting to make the next step, you know. And, and it's just really makes your heart feel wonderful to be able to help people. And, it's just a great feeling.
That's great. Thank you so much for the call, Linda. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
Kyle Kriegel was smiling away here. So, Kyle, I mean, we're talking the big events get attention, by national media, and it's splashed across the news. But tragedy can be very local, very personal. I mean,
absolutely. I mean, as Linda said, what people don't realize is that having a single family house fire can be very tragic to you. We respond here in Northwest Wisconsin to about 100 disasters a year, and well over 80% of them are single family house fires that you just don't even really hear about. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear about Chautauqua, you hear about these other disasters, but you don't always hear about just that single family house fire where people have lost everything. And as Linda said, we were there to provide a warm blanket, a cup of coffee, just a hug to kind of get you started on your road to recovery, to make you more resilient. So we're there. We do this every day.
And Red Cross is, well, probably one of the best known, but there are other organizations, I mean, faith groups and whatnot, right?
Absolutely. And we partner with them, like Salvation Army and other groups in our community that are there with us for these disasters.
Dr. Andy Felton, I wanted to talk to you now. And you know, we hear, you kind of hear the same response when you see someone that's interviewed that might have lost a home in a flood or a fire or the wildfires. I mean, the first thing that people seem to be thankful for is that they are alive, that their family is alive. But those people also lost, in some cases, everything. And people will say, oh, that's just stuff. But I'm wondering, does that have a psychological effect on someone when they lose maybe pictures, memories, you know, or even just the sense of home, like that security?
Oh, absolutely it can. Again, we assign meaning to those items. They create significance in our lives, and they mean something to us. And so that's part of what grief is. It's not just the loss of a person, but it could be the loss of an item or a behavior in some kind of way. Mm. And so when that changes unexpectedly in our lives, we have to adjust and learn how to adapt, and that can create a lot of difficulties for people.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. We've got another call, and it looks like Matt in Eau Claire is calling back. Matt, thanks so much. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning again, gentlemen. I got cut off before.
Sorry
about
that.
No, that's okay. You talked about, the tragedies in Wisconsin, and then you were talking about some of the smaller tragedies. And I just wanted to bring light of, the tens of thousands of small tragedies going on in the state with drug addiction, alcoholism, mental illness. I mean, this is daily that people are fighting this. Family members are impacted heavily with this kind of stuff. And there is help. There's programs out there that are free, like Al-Anon, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcanon?
Narcanon.
And if you'd be willing to talk about that, because I think a lot of times people, like, for example, they grow up in an alcoholic situation, they don't know that help's available. And especially if you can't afford, deductibles on your health insurance and stuff like that, to see a counselor. I mean, a lot of times you feel like there's nowhere to go and you're isolated.
Right.
And just getting help for family members so they can put on their own oxygen mask so that they can help a loved one.
Definitely.
So I don't know if you guys are familiar with that
or
talk about that a little bit.
Sure, I appreciate the call, and you mentioned that because that's actually something that I, as a reporter, am looking into right now, looking into alcohol addiction and addiction to other drugs. And what a toll it can take on people's families. Sheriff Fitzgerald, I mean, up in Barron County, we've seen a lot of, in northwestern Wisconsin, methamphetamine is kind of running rampant in some circles. So can you tell us a little bit about the toll on families or even the whole community?
Yeah, it cost Barron County, about $3 million a year just in human services. So if we had that money, if we could build families up, you know, like Matt said, build them back up, or you know, they're living in this home. If we can build them back up and take that money and spend it somewhere else, it would be way better off. But what we learned is a lot of people don't understand addiction, meth, you know, even what meth is, even though we talk about it every day. And sometimes at law enforcement, we take that for granted. So we're educating people on what meth is, what somebody on meth looks like, so they can reach out to them and say, hey, do you need help? Mm-hmm. That's been our main focus when it comes to methamphetamine. But it's a huge issue, Matt's right.
Andy Felton, can you speak to, you know, if a family is experiencing it, and you know that can take a big toll on people who want to help, and sometimes it seems like people will actually take on more than they probably should in order to try to help, and then that causes some stress for them. So can you give any advice on this?
I mean, ultimately, the important piece, just like I'd mentioned at the very beginning of the show, is that self-care aspect. If you don't take care of yourself, you really can't help other people. And so you're going to have to just be aware of what are you capable of actually taking on, and what are some of your triggers, and what's going to affect you, because it's going to be really important just to make sure that you're taking care of yourself so you don't go down a similar path or can't provide the type of support that you're hoping to those around you.
Sheriff Fitzgerald, how do you self-care?
Yeah, probably not as well as I should. But yeah, it's been a long 88 days and, a couple months, and it's mm-hmm. it's a little different. But, you know, my kids are involved in sports, and I made it to most of their games. So, I mean,
that's nice.
That's something different. So I know we're almost done, but I just want to thank the community as a whole for the support they gave law enforcement. They give Red Cross. They gave all of our partners. They continue to give the Kloss family, and I just can't thank this community enough for everything.
It has been a tremendous story with some silver lining at the end, and it's been really neat to see how people band together in tough times. And it's not specific to Western Wisconsin, but we have definitely seen a lot of evidence here. That is our time today on the West Side. Thanks to our guests for making this hour possible, Dr. Andy Felton, assistant professor in the UW-Stout Counseling Department, Kyle Kriegel, the Northwest Wisconsin Chapter Executive for the Red Cross, and Barron County Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald. Have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.